Working from home?
We're back in the office.
Don't miss a minute of Carmen and Yurko. Just ask your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Hope everyone's having a great day.
Stay warm. It's cold. It'll be cold the next couple days, good kid.
The Bears might heat things up today, though, with a GM hire.
And it could be Ryan Poles. It sounds like it's getting close. We've been talking about him, talking about
who they might zero in on after that. Does he already have his mind made up? Is Dan Quinn going to end up getting this job? It sounds like Dan Quinn is doing very, very well as he makes the tour around the league and all of the places that are looking for head coaches. I did see that this is from, Yurko pointed this out to me, this is from Colts Wire, so kind of like the inside scoop on the Indianapolis Colts. So this is some of the national guys reporting
it, too. Guys talking about it.
Yeah. Pelissero had tweeted, Tom Pelissero, the NFL Network, had tweeted, busy week ahead for the Bears. Monday, Colts, Morocco, Brown, Steelers, Omar Khan, interview for GM. Today, Chiefs, Ryan Poles, second interview for GM. Saints, D.C., Dennis Allen for head coach. Wednesday, Colts, D.C., Matt Eberflus, second interview for head coach. And then Mike Garafolo followed up with this quote tweet. There's a lot of talk. Bill Polian was pushing a Matt Eberflus, Morocco, Brown combo for the Bears, but Ryan Poles has absolutely impressed them. He's firmly in the mix. Is this what they hired Bill Polian for? Just to go get old, just to get Colts guys? I mean, they're not old. I mean, obviously, Morocco Brown's not old.
Right.
But, like, that's why I don't, this whole thing with Polian, I mean, and
you're
the
not
idea,
a fan of.
No.
But you knew they couldn't do it themselves.
Which is crazy. But what has Bill Polian led them to? Colts guys?
Yes.
Les Frazier?
Yeah.
Jim Caldwell? Guys
yeah.
that.
Yes.
I mean,
everybody he knows.
Yeah.
25 total interviews across GM and coaching candidates. Seems like a lot. You know, like, but you need Bill Polian to tell you, like, I think that's a bad idea. I don't know how you guys have felt.
Too many, you think?
Yeah.
Well, I said that from the get-go when the initial list Brad Biggs was releasing and all these are candidates. They're all going to be interviewed. Way too many.
Too many?
Too much.
How do you differentiate?
Well, to the point where, you know, what do we ask him? What did he say?
Right.
Here are the notes. Let's go over the notes.
Well, yeah, and then the note-keeping, too. Like, listen, once you start going through that process, it all starts to kind of blur together.
Right.
Now, you may remember certain things like, oh, this guy impressed me. I remember him. But you're kind of doing yourself a disservice at a certain point.
If you ever participated in, like, a rib fest, and you had to taste 12 or 14 different ribs.
That's a good call.
At the end of the day, each rib tastes the damn same, unless one is burnt to a crisp.
That's true.
Or one became ice cold because they had pulled it at 7 in the morning and put it in the refrigerator and you're eating cold, you know, ribs.
Same for whiskey tasting.
No. Yeah.
How about this? Maybe, like, to Yurko's point there, I think that's a good way to lay it out. Maybe as you're doing it, you can differentiate, right?
Right.
But then as soon as Rib Fest is over and you've tasted all the ribs.
Right. Like, then the next morning.
Go and give me a detailed account and tell me why.
Can't.
And you cannot tell me that certain stuff's not going to bleed together where you're actually going, did this person say that? And here's the other thing, too. There's probably a lot of overlap in what a lot of these people are saying. It's an interview, right? If you're going to be good at this job, you know what to say. You know what they want to hear, right?
Yeah.
Part of it's selling yourself.
I think so. Well, a huge part of it is selling yourself.
So that's what I'm saying is you're getting every person in this doing their best job to sell them to you. And ultimately, I don't know if that process is going to lead. I'm just crossing my fingers and hoping they get
lucky. Accidentally, they might get it right, and it's okay.
The Bears had months, though. Months knowing, like, you could have been coming up with this master plan of yours. We don't know diddly squat. Let's hire a football man or woman to be our football president. You had months. You knew this was coming for months. You've got a former player, one of your former players, that has done everything from play the game at a high level to represent coaches, to negotiate contracts, to understanding labor practice. I mean, like all, like what? Come on, guys. You've had months, and what you come to the podium with is the exact same thing you did 5 years ago with Ernie Accorsi.
Yeah.
The exact same thing.
Here's when they knew. When they lost to Baltimore and Pittsburgh. Those two losses where they lost real close and we still had a chance to be in it. That's when you knew you had a problem. That so from that point on, after that loss on.
Months.
That's when you knew. Yes, I'm supporting your months theory.
I know.
You had months there. Months to figure it all out.
And you came to the podium in January with the same nonsense you came with five, 6 years ago? We're going to hire somebody who used to do it for other teams.
I don't cross the list off that they didn't approach Trace Armstrong. I mean, Trace Armstrong just said, I'm not interested. I've got things going on, and my life is good, and I don't have to work with the McClaskeys. Are you kidding me?
Like the thing
I'm my own boss. I don't have to work for anybody.
If you're on top of it, and you know you want someone like Trace Armstrong running your organization, you have to come with a plan. Because he's, like Jericho just said, he has stuff going on. He's got a very successful... And so, but
You've had months to come up with a plan.
Carm, if you believe the reports, they needed Bill Polian to hold their hand and inform them, no, you need to part ways with Ryan Pace, too.
It's sickening.
I mean, that should have...
I mean, it makes my head hurt. And then we get people telling us we're too negative. Shut up. We're too negative. Are you kidding with this franchise that they need Bill Polian to come in from the outside and tell him to fire Ryan Pace and his track record? A franchise that has three playoff wins in 27 years and we're too negative? I can't handle it with this team.
They want to kill Aaron Rodgers up north. People want Aaron Rodgers, Marcus Spears today. They've got to separate from Aaron Rodgers.
I wish we had that
problem. Like there's 28 other teams in the NFL that are considered better than the Green Bay Packers. Listen, guys, the Green Bay Packers are a model franchise. A model franchise. They've convinced the wonderful people of Wisconsin that you got stock in a team with worthless pieces of paper.
That's amazing.
Well, they just keep raising cash for everything they want.
That's amazing.
We want a new stadium. Here's a piece of paper that's worth nothing. But we want you to pay $300 for it, and we consider you an owner. And we'll invite you to the stadium one day in August when we have our owner's meeting. How about that? Okay? They've been able to do that. On the stock, it says it has no value. It cannot resell for anything. It's not this. It's not that. It's not that. It's the worthless piece of paper you're receiving from the Green Bay Packers. But there they are all the time on Twitter. Just became a part owner of the Green Bay Packers. You rube.
Sure you did.
You rube.
You know,
what you gave them was a $300 donation so they can fix their facilities.
Not bad.
And have cash.
What you don't understand, Yurko, is that because it has no value, the stock can never be diluted.
Never.
So when they issue new stock, you don't have to worry.
Right. Yeah.
Your stock is still worth exactly the same as it was yesterday.
We have 27 million outstanding shares of stock worth zero. Congratulations to all of us.
By the way,
the point is they convinced them. They've got the money. They've got the facilities. They've got the wonderful stuff. They've got a team that's gone to the playoffs a number of years in a row. I'd rather go to the playoffs than be consecutive years of suck.
The
Chicago Bears are. It's for somebody to sit there, well, we're in the same place because we're not in the Super Bowl, and you think it's the same?
It's not the same.
Shame on you.
Of course it's not. That's
fools.
Right, come on. You have to be, if you think the Bears are in the same place as the Green Bay Packers, give me a break.
Yeah.
Some
people think that, Carm.
I can't put it any more clearly for you. Three wins in the playoffs in 27 years.
And how many times in the playoffs?
Six?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, we've gone over how many times Andy Reid's been in the playoffs.
Oh, come on.
With two different, even what is he supposed to be upset because he gets to the championship game and doesn't get to the Super Bowl?
And what would we do as Bears fans for the problems they're having with Aaron Rodgers? I mean, seriously, would you sign up for that?
I would sign up for that, yeah.
I mean,
I've got a problem with a superstar quarterback.
Sign me up.
Yeah.
Instead of what we've had.
We've had junk.
Three playoff wins in 27 years.
The closest thing to a superstar quarterback we've had was Jay Cutler. That was the closest, and all people want to do is mock him and make fun of him.
I know.
But that's the closest to greatness you've ever come, guys. The closest.
Al's in Portage Park. Hey, Al.
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call. So I've been a long, long time Chiefs fan, so I remember the days of frustration and playoff losses and heartbreaks, and you know that all changed a couple years ago, and it's been, you know, pretty cool, pretty cool ride. But you guys were talking about Andy Reid calling that play with Blake Bell in the fourth quarter.
Well, I don't know who called it. I don't know if it was he or Bieniemy, but whoever's doing it's got to stop. That's all I was saying, Al.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. They won't run Patrick Mahomes on a quarterback sneak. A couple of years ago, they did it, and I don't know if you guys remember, he dislocated his kneecap, and I think they tore that play out of the tore that page out of the playbook. They've never run it again. And in short yardage, you know, they've used Blake Bell, they've used Kelsey, you know, take direct snaps and go straight forward. But yeah, in the fourth quarter, I didn't like the play call because Blake Bell's not fast enough to run an option at that point in the game. But he's definitely converted short yardage just going forward because he's a big guy. They call him the Bell Dozer.
Right.
So, you know, he's effective. But, yeah, I mean, if you guys remember, Andy Reid always did kind of struggle on offense with third and short, fourth and short, even in Philly. You know, I guess the way they set their offense, you know, they don't have that power run game, and they don't have any Kansas City either.
And you're right, they don't want to do the design run stuff with Mahomes the way they're still doing it with Allen. You saw that. You're right, Al. I mean, now Mahomes can scramble and do things, and he did. His legs were extremely valuable, especially in the early portion of that game on Sunday. You know, but they're not going to do a lot of design stuff. I get that, Al. You're right. I want the ball in Mahomes' hands. Make a play. He's brilliant with play fakes, get him rolling out. I mean, they're so clever and creative and scheming stuff and guys open in scheming those situations. Open, anyway, why is Patrick Mahomes not touching the ball? That's my only point. I get you're not going to do design run stuff with Mahomes anymore. He's too valuable. I wonder at one point, Buffalo has to knock it off too. I mean, Josh Allen is something. I don't know. And again, this we always say, well, recency bias. The lines might light up. You could give me 100 examples. I don't know. You ever see a quarterback knock a defensive player out of a game? You don't see that too often. Josh Allen knocked Tre'Davious Ward out of the game. That's a quarterback running the football, and he clocked.
I've seen quarterbacks be aggressive on tackles. I think Tannehill threw an interception one time.
I've seen that.
And went after the guy and really got a nice piece of him. I don't think the guy got hurt.
You ever see a defensive player get knocked out of a game by a quarterback when the quarterback was running the football? Josh Allen's a different dude.
I have seen Kirk Cousins, after the many interceptions that he's thrown, probably one of those chase the guy down because he's upset. And put a good, clean shot on him. You know what I'm saying?
You mean Garoppolo in Italian?
Yeah. Who's never gone in and made a hard tackle? Dan Marino.
No.
Dan Marino's doing everything he can to get out of the way.
Listen.
Who busted his thumb trying to make a tackle?
Jay?
Yes. Thank you. And that season went to hell.
A quarterback did it this year, I feel like, didn't he? Or no?
I mean, listen, if they're so important you can't hit him anymore, I've come around to this over the course of time. That the quarterback is the premier player in this league, and they need to stay healthy if you're going to have a healthy league.
Yeah.
Right, because we've seen how deep the quarterback position is around the league. Not too deep.
No.
If you had 15 teams playing their second-string quarterbacks, there's good problems in half the league.
You think Dan Marino with that arm and hair, you think Dan Marino's going to go? I mean, come on. I don't blame Dante.
And they criticized him because it was the 80s. And they yelled at him.
Yeah,
he says,
smart.
The last thing I'm doing, I'm going to get the football back and take us back down there again.
I've never seen a guy, a quarterback, he's running down the middle of the field. He trucks a defensive player. They got to take him off the field. Yeah. I'm like, this guy is crazy. But at some point, you know, Josh Allen's going to be too valuable for that, too. I mean, they're great when they dial up design runs for him now. That's got to be part of their...
You know,
their arsenal maybe for another season.
Happened,
I don't know
what happened to Wentz. You know what happened to Michael Vick over the course of time.
What's happening to Lamar?
The minute you start cracking up them injuries,
Cam,
you've got to do something else. Yeah,
I know.
And Cam, they refused to call roughing the passer on Cam Newton.
Poor Cam Newton. I don't get it.
The one thing I'll say though is that, and maybe this is a credit to Brian Daboll. I know they have some people in the organization who are with Carolina when they had Cam Newton. And so I think they understand that using Josh Allen, they've used it more judiciously. They've done it more down the stretch and in the playoffs because they know it's effective.
That's true.
I think earlier in the season they were trying to do it less because they understood let's win games
with
his arm.
That could be.
And then come playoff time we'll let him, you know, we'll take the kid gloves off.
Yeah, you see how valuable it is when they put that in their arsenal and what they can call offensively. I mean, the last few weeks it's been amazing. 312-332-3776. Albert Breer, NFL insider, extremely plugged in, extremely tapped in. Does he think Sean Payton would ever come home to coach the Bears? I'll answer that question next.
This is Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000.
See what we're up to.
See them on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago.
Albert Breer joins Cap and Hoodie every week. It's always really good. He's very plugged in. His Monday morning quarterback, you know, which he kind of he carried on the baton once Peter King left and went over to NBC, and he does Football Morning in America now. And Albert Breer writes just a very well done, very comprehensive, detailed analysis every Monday morning of the NFL action we saw the previous weekend. And they have the guys on. They have Albert on every week, and he was talking to the guys today about a lot of things: Bears, where they're going, who they might hire. This stood out too because I've had this very silly dream going back to around December. You were gone at one point. Mellor and I were talking about it. I said my dream is that Sean Payton says, I've had enough here in New Orleans. I'm gonna go back to Chicago. Now, he hasn't been here in Chicago in 30 years. I mean, you know, maybe longer, for crying out loud. So I don't know how much this is home anymore for Sean Payton. I don't think it is home, right? I mean, in a sense, yes, he grew up here.
Right,
but
he grew up here. But I think the last time he spent a lot of time here was like in the
late
80s, 90s.
Early 90s. That's what I'm, yeah. You're right. You're 30 years ago.
I think 91 he was a GA in San Diego.
Yeah, so he's been gone 30
State,
years.
Something like that, yeah.
You know, and so I get it. But I understand that it's a long shot for so many reasons. The Bears don't really have the capital to be able to go get him. They don't. You know, he doesn't have maybe the ties here that we like to think that he does. I don't know how much family Sean Payton even still has here. Who knows? But that's been my silly dream. It's like, yeah, convince Sean to come coach for your hometown team and fix the Bears. Here was Albert Breer talking about the future of Sean Payton.
I don't think Sean Payton was going to. I don't think the Bears not getting Sean Payton was about the Bears not wanting Sean Payton. I think Sean Payton had misgivings about the way the organization runs. And if he's going to go somewhere else, another team, he's going to have to really buy into the way the organization is run. So my feeling is, you know, like Sean's making a lot of money. He's got an enormous amount of control in New Orleans. And I think ultimately that's why he goes back for another year. But, you know, I do think that, you know, networks like Fox and Amazon are going to throw their hat in the ring and make a big run at him. And, you know, we'll see what he wants to do. You know, obviously, he wouldn't be lacking for suitors if he wanted to coach somewhere else, you know, after this year. But I think, you know, if he's going to walk away, it would be probably to go to television for a year and then maybe jump back into coaching after that. But I think the likelihood right now, and I've said this for a few weeks, and you guys know this, I've had Sean Payton's name out there potentially leaving New Orleans for 2 months now.
You have.
You know, I think right now the likelihood is he probably does another year with the Saints.
You really only need to hear the very beginning of that to get a gut punch. You know, like, he's got no interest in the Bears because the way the Bears are run. Sean Payton's smart enough. And there's no attraction. And he's probably right. There's also, by the way, you know, for all the ghosting and he's on vacation, he met with Mickey Loomis for like 2 hours yesterday.
Yeah.
You know, so Sean might go back there.
He's not ghosting anybody. When you're on vacation, you're on vacation.
No, you ghosted him, Yurko. You go. I'm just kidding. I'm joking with you.
I think
it was part of my silly dream, Yurko.
Yeah,
it was my silly dream.
I understand.
He ghosted Mickey Loomis.
You wanted it to happen.
I did.
But
I really
did. He doesn't want it to happen.
That's exactly right, Yurko.
And his background, not that it's from Chicago anyway, he was born in California.
Well, but that,
he was also in his grade school, he went to Pennsylvania. He was in Pennsylvania, was in grade school. Mom and dad were in the insurance industry. So they moved around. He went to Naperville Central here.
Correct.
High school, was successful there with Eastern Illinois. So his high school and college years were spent here in Illinois.
Worked back after high school, right? In like between Spare Bears and college, he wore painted houses. Remember,
yes.
We've talked about that with Sean, because I did that in college.
Mm-hmm.
And we joked about that. He spent a little time here in some of his formative years.
And
you're
then
right.
Jumped to San Diego State as an offensive assistant in 88.
So he's probably been gone.
So there was just a little bit of time, you know, stayed busy, painted some houses, and then bam.
Did he go to Illinois at one point early on in his coaching career to coach or no?
Yes, he was quarterback's coach in 96.
That's what I thought. Oh, so that was a little bit later in his career then.
Yeah, 1996.
Okay.
Well, if he started coaching in 88.
Yeah, 12 years.
Yeah, so he's San Diego State for a couple of years, Indiana State for a couple of years, San Diego State again for a couple of years, Miami over Ohio, then Illinois, then he went to Philadelphia in 97. That's where I bumped into him again. I had that's when I had my tibia plateau fracture, and I saw him in the locker room with Ray Rhodes and John Gruden, and Sean Payton was the quarterback's coach. Mm. So we blanked the blank, you know, at that point and talked. Then he went to the Giants and then was a coordinator with the Giants, then with the Cowboys, and then got the New Orleans job in 06. I believe we were in Detroit.
You guys, I think you were.
When he was supposed to go out, Mike Francesa came over and joined us.
Exactly, I do remember.
And Mike Francesa.
Couldn't believe
it. And his voice go, "What? Who's that?
Excuse me, who are you?
Excuse me.
One, two.
You know who I am?
Sean Payton, supposed to come on with us.
Yurko, who are you?
Who are you?
Excuse me.
I don't know you.
I think Jerry Jones says it's one of the biggest regrets he ever made, letting Sean Payton leave the building.
Probably.
And he wanted Romo. Do you know that?
Yes, he did.
Payton wanted Romo because he was familiar with Romo.
Brees fell into his lap.
Yeah. You know, it didn't fall into his lap. He had to go to a second option.
Well, do you remember that the Dolphins were scared off by
Brees' shoulder surgery? Yes.
Boy, it could have changed the course of history, guys. Oh, like, what if Saban had Brees that one year? Yeah. Had Brees gone to Miami
and been good,
and like Saban might have said, "Okay,
never goes to Michigan State, then Alabama." Right?
Well, no, he left LSU to go to the Dolphins.
Yeah. Okay,
and then he left after it was only a year or two, right?
Two years in Miami.
Can you imagine if he had Drew Brees and Drew Brees was Drew Brees with Saban? He might have never left.
Yeah. Here's the thing: it definitely would have. I think Saban sticks around Miami for sure. I don't think Drew Brees has anywhere near the career that he had in New Orleans.
That could be.
He may have been good, but I think he truly benefited from what Sean Payton did for him and the Dome.
That could very well be.
You know, I mean,
playing in Miami's not bad, though, either.
It's not, but it's not the controlled environment of the Dome.
It's true.
If you ever go take a deep dive into Drew Brees' passing numbers,
it's true.
As good as they are so much better at home, as most quarterbacks would be, but that controlled environment helps his arm more than most.
He's like Todd Helton. You know,
that's a good comp.
No, but actually, when you strip down, like Yurko might have pointed out, he goes, "Boy, if you look at Helton's road OPS plus, it's almost as good." Yep. You know, but it's like the player that might benefit from Colorado. I think you're right, Meller. I think the Dome definitely helped Drew Brees.
He's probably still a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, I told him that.
But
he's definitely a Hall of Famer.
Drew?
In Miami.
I'm not sure.
That's interesting.
You know, I think that is a perfect marriage. Sean Payton and Drew Brees, they just worked so well together.
They did.
Do you know Payton's only 58?
Yeah. I figured he's a couple years older than you.
Only 58, yeah.
So what's the draw here? I mean, if there's not that hometown connection that, you know, Yurko pointed out.
Well, it's not the ownership.
It's not the ownership. It's not the team.
That's for damn sure.
He's been gone for 35 years. It's like I know it's silly. And the Bears can't get him anyway because they don't even have draft picks. I mean, you know, Waddle and Sylvie were talking about it yesterday. Waddle said, what if they take a second round? They're not taking a second round pick for Sean Payton. John Gruden got two first round picks for crying out loud.
I mean, he's Sean Payton. All those guys that went to college with him, and he was a sick guy, and a lot of guys were members of that fraternity and still keep in touch with him today. He invites him down to New Orleans, invites them to games. Camarillo, one of my buddies, Camarillo's there. All those guys, we saw him at spring training one time. They told us how great he was.
Yeah.
The Super Bowl, he'll call us and say, "Hey, I got tickets for you guys," and he'll go down there. So he's still got a tremendous connection with the guys that he played college football with and guys who he's a member of the fraternity with down there.
So they might have some guys in their neighborhood.
That friendship that they've developed over the course of time is still intact.
It's pretty good.
So, you know, that he does. There is a loyalty he has to the Eastern Illinois program and to the guys that he went to college with. So.
Yeah.
And I know PC Pat Carroll's a California guy. He's a private detective out there, still keeps in touch with him. There's a lot of guys that still keep in touch with him.
Yeah, it's not going to be Sean Payton. I mean, I get it, believe me. Today, we could get news on a new general manager, though, so we'll continue to follow that story for everybody. Ryan Poles is back in town for a second interview. It sounds like the Bears are starting to hone in on either Dan Quinn or Jim Caldwell. Potentially Matt Eberflus will be back tomorrow for a second interview, the DC of the Colts. And keep it locked here for all the latest, 312-332-3776. The Hall of Fame in baseball will announce its class later tonight. We want to go through the ballot one more time and see if we can predict who's going to be in. And, you know, Merkin was doing, he was doing a tracker of the ballots that they do know about. And the early returns look good for some of the steroids guys that have never been able to get in. So we'll update you on that. 312-332-ESPN is the number. We'll be right back. Baseball announces its Hall of Fame class tonight, Yurk. I think a couple of weeks ago we went through the ballot. Remember, Merck said you can only vote for 10. We all did it. We voted for 10 guys.
Yeah.
I put Scott Rolen in.
Well, I mean, I had him on my ballot. I didn't put Rolen in, but yes, we were voting. We did vote, yes.
We all voted for Bonds. We all voted for Clemens.
I voted for Sosa.
I think we came to the conclusion that it was a lot easier than it's made out to be.
Right. Well, who's the idiot that just fills out one name and that's it?
I don't know.
Dan Jeff Shaughnessy? Kent.
Yeah, Dan Shaughnessy, the idiot.
Who did he put? Just Ortiz?
No. Jeff Kent.
Jeff. Oh, yeah, that's right.
That's it. Just Jeff Kent.
Hi, Merck.
And that's the problem. That's the problem.
Give us the names again. Who's on here?
All right, you guys ready?
Yeah,
we'll go rapid fire.
Hold on. Yes. But we're making predictions as to who we think
is
are
that what we're
in,
doing?
Right?
We're predicting?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like, because right.
Let's predict who we
Ryan,
think.
Ryan, I've been following this guy, Ryan. He's a really good follow. Ryan Thibodeau, not Mr. Tibbs, on Twitter. And he's been compiling, he's got like 50% of the ballots
How
in.
How is he getting these ballots?
People are posting.
Oh, people post.
Yeah.
And then he's doing the work. He's doing the legwork.
Right. Okay. So right now he's got Ortiz at 83.5%, Barry Bonds at 77.8%, Roger Clemens at 76.8%. You need 75% to get in.
So it sounds like Ortiz, Bonds, and Clemens are trending in a good direction.
Right. Scott Rolen is just below 70% at 69.6%.
I'm going to say he gets it. Still 5%. 6%.
Kurt Schilling at 61.3%.
Nice. I'll tell you what happens at this point. There's not enough balance because at that point, the ballots need to come in 90%
right.
with the vote coming in with what's left.
Yeah.
So that becomes a problem there. Also, those that aren't revealing them are the ones that are theoretically protecting the gates of Cooperstown.
I think, yes, I agree completely with your assessment.
So, though it looks like Clemens looks like he's going to get in
you
now
think
because
he'll fall
he's got
off a cliff.
He'll fall off a cliff because probably 50% of the ballots that are coming in won't have his name on there.
All the young guys that are posting their ballots that are saying, yes, of course, Barry Bonds is a
right.
Hall of Famer.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, I'm gonna still predict Bonds gets in. I think they got to stop the nonsense. I say Bonds gets in.
So we'll go over the names. I go Big Poppy is in.
I'll say Poppy.
And Jeff Kent is in.
Really?
I don't think. Did you have the. Where was Jeff Kent at?
Jeff Kent is trending really low. He's at 32%. Yeah, I don't think Jeff Kent's going in. Yeah.
I don't think he's getting in.
I'll say Poppy, Bonds.
I got
Poppy. I'm going to say Rolen and Clemens.
Now, this is Roger Clemens and Barry Bonds last year on the ballot. Next year, they can go in with the veterans or whatever. I don't know what they even call it now. It's
what's A-Rod trending at? Isn't A-Rod on this ballot?
A-Rod is at 38.7%.
And A-Rod's a Hall of Famer. There ain't no gray area. This is where it becomes a joke.
Yeah, I know.
That's why the Baseball Hall of Fame is a joke. It's a joke, because Pete Rose isn't in it.
Yeah.
But that's an old story. We got a new story. Yeah. The new story, if you don't have A-Rod in the Baseball Hall of Fame, it's a joke.
But isn't the same if you don't have Bonds in the Hall of Fame?
Same thing.
Okay, you could say the same thing. They're both the same. That's fine. It's a joke, though. And the guys at Dan Shaughnessy in the world, they ought to get them all together and say, you know what? Baseball Writers of America, you can go to hell. We're going to redo this thing. We're going to streamline it. We're going to make it 50 voters. You need 70% to get in. Get in there, do it like the NFL, and make it a discussion.
Like the NFL, yeah.
A celebration of baseball, right?
Right.
NFL's a celebration of football, which even though I argue against Devin Hester, I realize that Devin Hester is probably going to go into the Hall of Fame. If not this year, at some point they're going to put him in.
He's going in this year.
Okay? I don't think he is, but that's fine. And we're not wagering again. I've lost too much bourbon to you. Okay? It's supposed to be a celebration of baseball.
Right.
Okay? You've got guys with wars at 170, and you've got Trevor Hoffman with a war of 28. Okay?
It's hard to compare those two.
I understand. He had a 26-year career. His war was one per year for 26 years. It doesn't matter. The point is that you take all kinds in there, and it's supposed to be a historical representation of what baseball has to offer, not a moral judgment of what was happening during their careers in baseball. Right? Gaylord Perry shouldn't be in, right?
They have the integrity when they ask the voters. I personally would put Alex Rodriguez in, Yerk, but they do have that clause about integrity for the game.
That, my friends, is called integrity.
For what it's worth. And I would put him in, but I'm open to a conversation about Alex Rodriguez if your point is he was suspended in addition to the speculation about steroids. He was then suspended for failing PED tests for a full season. Unlike Bonds and Clemens, who were never suspended, like them, I would put in automatically. Alex Rodriguez, though, did have to serve a 162-day suspension.
But they weren't tested.
No. But remember, he failed the the PED test
right.
even after,
after.
That.
That's
Once
true.
The league introduced their new policy, he and Manny yeah, Ramirez
right.
both had to serve a 162-game suspension.
Rehabbing an injury.
Yes.
Remember?
Yeah.
Rehabbing an injury.
So I'm open to that conversation if you're somebody who's like, I don't want to put Alex Rodriguez in because of that. I'm just saying. But Bonds and Clemens, for me, I'm putting them in because if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying.
You know what?
It wasn't against the rules.
Bonds before, I saw someone tweet out, before the steroid rumors started with Bonds, he hit over 499 home runs.
He was already the best, you know, maybe the best left fielder to ever play before the nonsense started in 99.
By the way, you have to have, I think it's 5% to stay on the ballot. In Ryan's little breakdown here, Burley's at 5.2%. So, and I think this is Sammy's 10th year, too, is it not? I think it's Sammy's last year as well.
I imagine so.
And Sammy's only getting 24% right now.
Burley's not going to make it. Marco is one of my all-time favorite White Sox players. He was terrific. He had a hell of a career. I don't think he's a Hall of Fame player. His career is so eerily similar in a lot of ways to John Lester's. I don't know that either one of them, to me, they don't. It, like, that's not Hall of Fame, but Lester might because of...
It's a new world, Carm.
Well, Lester might because he was on two cursed teams that won, and he was very, very good for a long time in the postseason, even though that's not supposed to matter.
Carm, how about now in baseball, well, since they expanded baseball playoffs, you've got more playoff games that you get to pitch in,
that's
right?
That's true.
You got a chance to be successful, as in when guys like Bert Blyleven played, you had to win your division to be in the playoffs.
Yeah,
like, and if you are on a team that finished second or third historically and was still a better-than-average team, but you just weren't good enough to topple whatever team was in your division, you never got a chance at postseason glory.
Pretty wild card.
Guy like Blyleven, the magic number was 300 forever. Then all of a sudden they let him in with 292 wins.
Yeah, it's like, come on, guys.
It's like, what kind of joke do we have?
That's why setting these artificial limits are kind of silly.
Right.
You know, like, oh, you got to have 300 wins. No, you don't.
Right.
I mean,
if you've got 609 home runs and you've got 800 and change, you know, it doesn't matter whether you like it or not. You deserve to be in. Hank Greenberg isn't in because he was a great baseball player. Hank Greenberg's in because he had home runs.
Hammer and Hank?
Bill Mazeroski's in because people liked him. People must have loved Bill Mazeroski.
Well, Bill Mazeroski beat the Yankees in a World Series. That's
one of the most famous home runs of all time.
That's why he's in.
It's one clutch home run.
He's in because of one clutch home run.
In fairness, he's probably the greatest defensive second baseman ever, too, right? Isn't he? I mean, don't they say that?
Based on what?
That's true. Who knows?
I mean, I could say that about Freddie Pottsman.
My guess is Javi Baez probably is a better defender than Bill Mazeroski.
Yeah,
based
good
on
point.
Absolutely
good
nothing. I never saw Mazeroski turn a double play card.
Yeah, I'll go with Robbie Elmar over. I'll go with Javi Baez over Bill Mazeroski. Yeah, I think you're right about that. He's in on one home run. Basically made the Hall of Fame because he beat the Yankees.
By the way, Barry Bonds, I implore everybody out there, he should go in for the 4-year stretch, even if he was juiced to the bejesus. From 2001 through 2004, every single season he had an on-base percentage over 500.
Wow. He was juiced to the bejesus.
I don't care. And then in 2004, he had an on-base percentage of 609 with an OPS of 1422.
That's insane.
120 intentional walks that year.
Stupid.
All right, for lunch for the staff. Okay.
All right.
I will buy lunch for the staff on Friday. If you can name the pitcher who gave up the home run that Bonds passed Hank Aaron. He was on Waddle and Sylvie the following day.
No chance. How sad it is. It was an Angel, right?
No, incorrect.
Well, we would have definitely had it wrong.
Let's see if Twitch has it.
Oh, no, it was Washington. He was a National,
yes,
right?
Yes,
yeah, it was a National.
Yes.
National. His name was...
I think he's in broadcasting now.
Is it...
It's not Chan Ho Park. Someone's guessing Chan Ho Park.
Is it Gio Gonzalez?
No. He was on Waddle and Sylvie the next day.
Mike something?
Yes.
Mike...
Mike.
Get it.
No. I can't. I'm never going to get it. It was like, it's Mike something.
Mike Hunt.
Mike Neller.
I was going to go. No, you don't. I was going to go with Michael Hunt.
Mike.
Just to protect myself. But you don't care.
It was Mike Schmermer. The Schmermer.
You got it.
Mike Schmermer. Right? Wasn't it?
No, it wasn't.
Mike, what is it? I'm not.
Mike Basic.
Mike Basic. I would have never gotten it.
B-A-S-C-I-K, I believe.
Mike Basic. Now, who... Did
oh that'd be a good story. I'm gonna tell
did
it.
Messerschmitt.
Wait, now you ready? Who did Hank Aaron hit the home run?
Al Downing.
Al Downing.
Yeah.
We all remember it.
Yeah.
What year was that? 77? 78? I'm not old enough to remember watching it. I was a kid. I was an infant. And I know it was Al Downing.
You know it was Al Downing.
And I could never pull Mike Basic if Merkin offered up lunch.
The one thing I know is that Craig Sager was actually at the plate when Hank Aaron interviewing, right?
That's correct. Craig Sager was trying to fight off the fans on the field following, running around the bases with Hank Aaron.
We come back.
Great Craig Sager.
Tom in Lake Zurich disagrees with Yurkos on his Hall of Fame take. So
we'll grab your calls. We love it when people disagree.
Yeah, well, listen, disagree with me all you want.
I love baseball. We'll be right back.
This hour is brought to you by Northwestern Basketball, Chicago's Big Ten team. Coach Collins and the Cats host Rutgers, Indiana, Purdue, and Nebraska this February at Welsh Ryan Arena. Buy tickets now at nusports.com.
Zoning out on that Zoom meeting? Zoom. Find out what Carmen and Yurko were talking about. Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
We've talked Bears. We didn't hit the Bulls as much as I wanted to today. Maybe we'll do that tomorrow, depending on what kind of Bears news we get today.
Yeah, if
they
do
hire an EGM. I mean, Io, man. Like,
and Vooch.
How about Io?
And Vooch.
Well, Vooch, too, yeah.
Yeah,
Vooch sometimes is still frustrating.
I get you. You're going to need him,
but
though.
He's skilled.
If you're going to make noise in the playoffs, he's got to be a part of it, right?
How do you not love what's happening with Io DeSumo, a second-round pick who's, you know, the stage doesn't appear to be too big for him, and he can combo. You know, he can play point. He can play off the ball a little. He's a willing defender. He's got the nice NBA body. See how broad his shoulders are? Like, as he gets stronger.
He grows into his body,
I mean,
too.
He's
going to become more physically mature.
He's got those long arms and the nice shoulder. I like the shape of Io.
How's his hands, Jerry?
I think they're good.
How's his mom's hands, Jerry?
I think they're good.
Uh-huh.
But he does
Illinois
have...
Illinois product out of Morgan Park Academy, right?
That's correct.
Thank you.
He does have the look. Like, you know, he's got the body that you want to see in a young player for this league. I mean, there's so much to like about Io. The Bulls should have never been in such a close game last night after blowing a 28-point lead. Sorry for all the Bulls bettors that had, like, minus one and a half, minus ones out there. At least you push that. But overhit, but that late three at the buzzer.
Those are losses you don't recover from.
And that's why when you're in those short lines and, like, the three ball in the NBA, you always worry about
Was that on Van Pelt last night?
I don't know.
Did Van Schmelt have that on there?
It should have been. On Bad Beats?
That was Bad Beats.
That was a tough one, man. And by the way, I agree with amen to Sylvie. He ranted a couple times yesterday, but early in the show he was ranting on Grayson Allen. He's just a dirtbag, plain and simple. This is a long pattern going back to Duke. He's a dirtbag. And it's as simple as that. This isn't the 80s anymore. This isn't the 70s. There's no place in the game for fouls like that, for play like that. There's none. And he's shameful. The Bucks' organizational reaction to it was somewhat shameful, but really it's on Grayson Allen. He's a dirtbag. And it's you can't make it any simpler than that. And hopefully Alex Crusoe comes back and helps the Bulls in the spring. But you almost wish it would have been a little bit more than a game
suspension. What was the head coach up there, Budenholzer's reaction to the one-game suspension?
I don't know, to be honest. Did he say something about it?
I think he was surprised that he was suspended.
Well, because he got kicked out of the game?
Yeah, well. I think he was surprised.
Too bad, Mike. We're surprised you still have a job. If Kevin Durant's foot wasn't on the line, you'd be out of one.
Right.
So. Let's go to Tom in Lake Zurich. What's up, Tom?
Hey, boys. Couldn't agree more. Kermit Washington, that's a different discussion for a different day. I'm old enough to remember watching Hank Aaron live as a quick aside. Who caught the home run ball? Tom House, little-known bullpen coach.
On the Hank Aaron home run?
Yeah.
Oh, how about that? That's good. Good. That's a good nugget.
All right, I'll quit while I'm behind. If 25% of the NFL were juicing and the rest weren't, okay?
All jumped
and
up.
And somebody comes along next year and puts up 41 sacks and just blows Strahan a lot away. Breeze and Brady's record in 5 years instead of 15. Are you, as a player, as a media guy, are you at all? Or Houston, right? It's okay to cheat there. Can we steal signs? Now that's okay, too. I mean, Barry Bonds belongs in the Hall of Fame. He's the greatest hitter ever.
Thank you.
I agree. He didn't need to do any of that stuff. That's my point.
I know.
I just don't let the guy wait until... he's old and gray and make him suffer because he cheated. All right, I know.
It wasn't against the rules. Listen, it wasn't against the rules in baseball to take PEDs. Whether you like it or not, it wasn't.
Well, when Bonds and those guys first started doing it, you mean?
Yes, it was not. You know, when McGuire was doing it and he had the canister of whatever it was in there, the cream and the clear, whatever it was doing was not outlawed by Major League Baseball and or the rules. I don't give a crap what anybody says.
It was not.
You can't have a comparable in the NFL because steroids were illegal. And guys were being suspended after Steve Corson and Lyle Alzado came out.
Yeah.
The NFL instituted rules against steroids. So once that, you were cheated. They had a process that you had to go through, whether it was going to be Brian Soche, the nose tackle down by us, got suspended for taking steroids. Miami 1990, which almost let me make the team. I still got cut. Didn't make a difference. Okay? So the point was they put a system in place where it was illegal. They had ways to punish it. Once you became clean, you tested clean, you get back in there. Were guys cheating? There were guys. Of course they were cheating. Mm. Of course they were. There's players that are in the NFL Hall of Fame that probably were cheating over the course of time using supplements that they couldn't quite catch quite yet.
Mm.
Yes, they're still in the Hall, and I don't mind it. Good for them.
Chris is in Schaumburg. What's up, Chris?
I never took it. That's the important thing.
Right.
Chris.
Hey there.
Talk to us,
hey,
Chris.
So, York, I can't agree more with that. Like, baseball itself is a game of people trying to find competitive advantage. I mean, look at now. They're shifting. They're trying to change the rules. I mean, throughout history, all the parks are different. The weather's different. The pitchers you face are different. Some teams never face Babe Ruth. Babe Ruth never face an African-American pitcher.
Exactly.
Like, there's so many different things, and it's weird that they just hone in on this one thing, and the two players that were the best at that time, they're punishing. I mean, and you know the system's broken because you can look at ballots with Thibodeau's tracking, that there's guys who actually vote Bonds and not Clemens, and vote Clemens and not Bonds.
Hmm.
So if you're going to vote one, how are you not?
Yeah, that's weird. That's weird. I don't know what's the distinction, you know? I mean, I wonder why those voters would be like that, Chris. That's a good point. I don't know the answer to that. I mean,
and like I said, there's guys in San Francisco that openly don't like him because Bonds wasn't nice to the media and whatever. And to me, it's just like Yergo said, it's flawed. The system is too much bias and opinion for people who aren't that close to the game. And it sucks. And the last point before I hang up and listen, Carm, have your stats guy pull up Mark Burley versus Glavin's career.
Mm.
And if you tell me Tom Glavin's a Hall of Famer, you might have an interesting argument for Mark Burley.
All right, we'll take a look. Chris, thanks, buddy. We can look at those stats ourselves even a little bit later. I mean, Glavin pitched a long time.
Yes, he did.
I wonder, how different those stats might look. You know, Glavin won a Cy Young, right?
Well, I don't know. 305 victories for Tom Glavin.
But again, we don't want to get in the habit of just counting victories.
3.54 ERA in the National League.
The best way to look is ERA plus.
All right.
So what's the ERA plus?
118.
All right, I'll tell you Burley's. Hold on.
118.
Glavin pitched, got his 300th win at Wrigley Field.
He did.
With the Mets.
His whip, 1.314.
What's his name? Mark Burley's ERA plus, guess what? 117.
Yeah.
Chris might be onto something. We can take a dive into some of the other stats, too. And
he was a 5-time 20-game winner.
Well, that's different really era. Good.
Yeah. Really good. 2022.
Thanks for listening, calling, and participating in today's show, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow. We might be on early, from 9 to noon, if there's some Bears news. We'll see. Waddle and Sylvia keep you up to date coming up at 2 after Greeny and then into Black and Abdallah. Thanks to Jarrett Strauss, Midway Jeff Meller, and Randy Merkin, as always. Have a great day. Stay warm. We'll see you tomorrow. Hoodie has the final word.
Carmen and Yurko present today's final word.
Because you had to be a big shot, didn't you? You had to open up your mouth.
Today's final word.
You had to have the last word.
On Carmen and Yurko.
I heard you guys talk about that last week. That's true? KFC started in Utah? Was the Colonel a Mormon?
That's where the first chicken's from.
The first chicken's
from UFC.
Yeah, he's a long-time Latter-day Saint, first-time caller.
Yeah, first-time Colonel. Long-time Latter-day Saint.
That was The Final Word on Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000.